Good afternoon, everybody. Michael, well, let me start with my great hosting partner, Arthur. Firstly, let's start with, there's a new addition in your house.
That's it.
Well, let me say a third addition.
Addition, yes.
To your house. Well, congratulations to you and Raylan,
Thank you so much,
Arthur. And we are so grateful the baby's healthy and Raylan is healthy. And just so everybody knows, if Arthur has a few botch moments today.
Correct.
It's about 10 hours sleep, I would say, in 7 days.
If I'm lucky.
If you're lucky.
If I'm lucky.
But what a great way to start the year, and what a blessing.
No, so, it's exciting
times. So congratulations to you and Raylan.
Very, very exciting time. Super blessed. Glad to be back in the seat with you guys. I've been getting some cabin fever at home at the moment. So it's nice to be out for a little bit on a Red Bull. So I should be good for an hour or so, and then I might just duck out.
Duck out again. Well, great start to the year for that, and it really is a I'm sure that it will change the way you look at this year.
100%.
Your life is going to change. Right now, you're in panic. How do I do this? What's the baby going to do? But at some stage, it's going to settle, and then everything in your life is about to change. How
100%.
You view things. If you're going to a fitting for Arthur after this, it's going to be more determined with more gust.
Correct. No, this year started off very good. From a business point of view, from a family point of view, I feel like, you know, the baby has kickstarted the year in a positive note. So excited for 2023.
That's fantastic.
And hopefully exciting stuff for the show as well.
Yeah, I think so, Arthur. And I think what you just said there, the start of this year felt to me in golf, you know, it just started and it's off with a boom. The phone calls that I'm getting from people, where they are in their mindsets, is they really are determined to take golf and to build on the momentum that golf has had for the last 2 years.
Mm.
And on that note, it's so nice for us to have Michael Cock here with us this morning.
AKA Cockstar.
AKA Cockstar. I can myself for that Instagram handle. Yeah. So welcome, Michael, to us, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. I truly appreciate and humbled by being here.
What a pleasure. You know, Michael, me and Arthi, to have you here this morning is, we want to firstly get a bit of insight into you, you know, but then also a lot of people at the moment, there's a lot of youngsters at the moment chasing the game of golf. You know, there's a lot of parents deciding, where do I go with my kids that's got a little bit of talent? But golf, which in most cases we see on TV, is glamour. It's, yeah. You're always out. And I think anybody always says, like, how do you guys moan about anything? Your life is golf. But like any job, how much you love it, how much passion you have for it, it also gets you. It also every now and again beats you down a little bit.
For sure.
And you have to dig deep like all of us.
100%.
No matter what job you take on.
I know, for sure. Yeah, well, you know, everyone sees a glamorous life out there and we travel and we live the life. But, you know, I respect these golfers, man. It's such a brutal mental game. You know, we're always facing failures. You have your ups, about
5% of ups,
100%, and the rest is failure. And like, I respect golfers, man. Like, honestly, it's from motocross to this. Motocross, I was 90% on a high. Yeah, I'm facing disappointments and failure every day of my life, and just what keeps me going is motivating people and showing people that whatever you put your mind to is possible, you know. And also, Sunshine Tour is doing an unbelievable job. Like, the events they're putting together for us players is unreal.
Remarkable.
Sure, Arthur can even
listen
to that.
Yeah, the tour has done a huge job from when I was playing on tour.
Yeah.
The opportunity for the players, I mean, I used to pre-qualify for like 90% of the time. Now they most of the events, full field events, everyone's sort of in, and more tournaments to play, bigger tournaments, bigger prize fund. So I think Thomas Apt and the team have done a really, really good job to where they are right now.
Yeah, you know, it's maybe a good point there, Arthur, that it is a shout-out moment to the Sunshine Tour. Mm. Because, you know, when I watched the last DP Tour event? It was Leopard or Mauritius?
The last one was Mauritius.
Mauritius, but before that it was Leopard.
Leopard.
But then I looked at the facilities. I looked at the camera shots that we were seeing. Now we've got some tracing that's also done on some of the shots.
Mm.
And I just looked at the class of players that's coming here. And what I really enjoyed, and Dylan mentioned it as well, how many South Africans globally came to support it as well.
Mm.
You know, where they almost see it as a duty of giving back.
Mm.
And then at the same time, getting some beautiful African sun, you know, with their families. I even saw Trevor Immelman was in South Africa this year.
I saw him. He was in the Cape.
He was in the Cape, you know. And look at all the positive stuff he said about it and how they came back. Oh, Demi Thibault, what's it? Tim Thibault, that big... Demi, man, she was this ex-South African model.
Demi,
her husband is a big, he's a baseball player, American baseball player.
Is Demi the Miss South Africa?
Yeah.
Well, but it wasn't Demi, it was Demi something, and she obviously married.
Yeah, but it's not Tim Thibault. Quickly Google.
Thibault.
Yeah, actually, let me just get this right.
What, Thibault a building?
I'm telling you, like T-I-B-O, Thibault. Yeah.
Demi Lee.
Okay, what's the husband? Tim Thibault.
What is his...
just check if it's baseball or is it football? American football. Oh, okay, because he's a big boy. Yeah, he's now a free agent. And I see they were also here and played Pearl Valley. They played a lot of the courses in Cape Town. And then the feedback that they did, you know. So, Michael, forgive us for taking a moment of just reminiscing of who we all we saw here in December. But it just shows you our landscape in Africa is just incredible.
I mean, even if you look at TikTok, I've seen a lot of reels, let's call it over December, where Americans, male, female, come to South Africa for the first time. And they actually do, let's call it a couple of reels on their journey and what they did. And they can only talk positive things.
Yeah.
Whether they went to the Kruger, whether they went to Sandton, whether they went to... you know, the Cape and the wine route and waterfront. I mean, they only had good things to say, you know, from the quality of food, the quality of wine, the price points that we pay for it compared to around the world is nothing better.
Yeah. Well, Michael, for us to tap a little bit into your motocross viewers and also that industry. So a motocross rider, young age?
Yeah, I started when I was 10.
10.
Yeah.
And that was your dream?
Yeah. I went riding with buddies one day, and my dad said to me, he'll buy me a bike that week. Got on a bike, and I just lived each sleep the game. And beautiful sport, eh? Unbelievable. Broken my femur twice, punctured my lung, broken shoulders. Severed the nerves that the doctor said I'll never be able to move my left shoulder. And yeah, I think that's where my mental strength came from, is fighting those battles where the doctors tell you you're paralyzed in your arm and you'll never be able to move your arm again, to, you know, conquering that. And here I am today, just trying to inspire people and make them better.
What Good. Made you move away from motocross? Was it the injury factor? Were you tired of it? Or was there no, let's call it, industry for you to improve in locally? Was it tough to get out there? What was the reasoning behind
champ,
that?
Sometimes in life, I've also, in your shoes, I had a little baby, Hannah, and she changed my perspective in life. So... and motocross wasn't giving me what I felt I deserved. And I looked to golf and I looked to a couple of things. I had a couple of
ideas.
And I chose golf because I just wanted to stay in the competitiveness. And yeah, when you first start golf, it's easy. You know, and then as time goes on, the game gets into your head and you actually realize how tough it is, eh?
Mm.
But I'm a fighter, and that's why I just kept on going. I just never, ever let the game beat me. I just carried on fighting for what I wanted, and that was my Sunshine Tour card.
So from motocross, because I'm glad that you have your limbs, that you could go into golf afterwards, because that's a hectic sport.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense to us, and especially I hear you there. Your daughter changes perspective. It's obviously got a lot more risk towards it, the motocross. And you then made a switch to golf. When was that?
In 2012. Yeah.
And, you know, Michael, before you burst onto the scene, yes, I never knew you. You know, you burst through social media with great positive messages, and I just enjoyed it. It was a moment where you could just sort of enjoy your post for a moment, where you were so positive in your energy, and it sort of just lifted your spirit for that one moment. And it was also amazing that you put yourself out there like that, you know, because myself personally, I'm a very passive user, you know, on social media, and that would be very awkward to me. So I really felt encouraged by that, you know, and I thought to myself, wow, this guy is pulling energy from places that I don't even know. But what's also important to me, and why I think Arthur and I wanted to come and chat to you, is because I want people to understand it doesn't always look like that. You know, you have moments where you don't feel like that. You don't feel like encouraging people because you just can't find it in yourself to do that. 100%. And then it feels fake, you know, which I really enjoy about you. And so far that I've looked at that, you're not doing it, you know, in a moment where you just fake it, because people will see that too.
Yes.
You know, and we all have moments like that, but you're very consistent also in that application. And you must have a great attitude if you've done and you've been a champion in motocross. You know, we talked a little bit just past that. People can dive into your history a little bit more, but you were a motocross champion, and that takes grit. You know, that takes determination, it takes sacrifice and exercising and things that you have to do that nobody sees. You know, all they see is when you start the bike and off of room you go.
100%.
And golf is supposed very similar to that. The hours you put in, and when we see you, it's on the golf course or on the driving range.
Yes.
You know, but the work long before that has been put in.
No, for sure. I dedicate my life to the game. I'm always at it. I believe obsession is beats talent. And the more, like, golf's about repetition. The more you do it, the more your brain gets used to it. It's not about how pretty your swing is and everything. It's just about how you get that ball in the hole. And it's mental. Golf's mental.
Mm.
If, you know, sometimes we spiral as golfers. Arthur can even vouch on that. We spiral, man. We good, but you lose the faith. And that's what you have to keep training your mind and everything, is to just keep believing and make that journey, you know, as strong as possible.
Self-belief is the key to golf. Not belief, self. Yeah. Believing in yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in yourself, you're going to go nowhere very quickly. You've got to look into yourself first and know that you can do it. And I think every single golfer, I don't know if you saw Brandon Stone's article that he just did in The Complete Golfer, talking about, you know, he started questioning himself if he was good enough or not.
Yeah.
I mean, he's won ESSA Open. He's won, I think, twice on the European Tour. I mean, he's a great player, good ball striker, from junior golf all the way to where he is. I mean, he's just dressed in success, you know, you know, from the get-go. But every single person goes through those dips and starts questioning themselves. Can I do this? You know, am I good enough? You know, what does the future look like? You know, all of those things go on in your mind, and that plays a massive factor. And that's why I stopped. You know, I always question, what is my future going to look like? You know, if I'm 27, 28 years old, not playing on the European Tour or PGA Tour, and I mean, it's a time factor, you know. You can't just click your fingers and get there. It's a lot of risk for not a lot of reward, but persistence will get you there with the self-belief and all the hard work and dedication. But it's such a grind. It is such a grind. It's ridiculous. So I feel you.
But if you look at the greatest golfer we've ever had, you know, that could be argued, you know, and I think you can even take it further to say one of the greatest sportsmen ever lived, Tiger Woods.
Mm.
But he fell.
Mm.
He buckled. He went through moments in his life. And what I feel is, I felt like he was almost the one that had to do it first for the others to be okay with it. Because Tiger, the image that was portrayed to us was perfection. Perfect in home, perfect in wife, perfect in family, perfect in golf. And subsequent to that, we all knew that it was actually just protected for 10 years, but he was crumbling and had moments of weakness and things he did in between when it finally burst onto the scene. So,
and I think him and his team were protecting it.
Completely, 100%.
It was all controlled.
All controlled, you know. And nowadays you see golfers, we had Sean Norris here a while back, and he also spoke about the mental challenges, you know, and that it's tough to go through. And it's not something we just want to speak about, yeah, but it's also something that we speak about too little, you know, that the percentage that you have to win, the dedication that you have to put in, unfortunately, it's great and it's motivating, but in between that bad shot, that great shot, there's also seven bad shots. You know, that has to be picked up. And Cornbrink Smith, you know, look at him. He's been chasing a championship, I think it's 7 or 8 years, yeah. And then he finally got it last year. And right at the end, look at that playoff. They had to go back twice. Am I right? They had to go back twice to play that off. You know, so even in that moment, there was one shot that he lost it for a minute there. You know, and luckily at the end, he could pull it back entirely and come through to the win. But you burst onto the scene, this great encouragement. We then see you get your sunshine tour card, you know, because you weren't really on my radar before that, Michael. But you get your sunshine tour card and you're this burst of energy that comes on. And I think a lot of people were attracted to that. You almost felt like one of us, the amateurs.
Yes. You almost feel like you're a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You get what I'm saying.
100%. Yeah.
You're not, there's no fakeness, if that's the right word, to anything that you do. All real.
Yes,
it's personal. Sure. And I think it's, you've added a bit of what's the right word, not because fuel to the fire is not really a positive saying, but you've added a bit of spice to the game. Sure. You know,
and listen, I can tell you now, some people would have probably said, you know, some of those moments was what do you call it? You know, when somebody is positive all the time, it's almost, there was moments where it was like, you know, is this a front? You know, is this a front? But then if you go back into your history and every time that you speak, the words that you use, Michael, that is comes from a genuine place. And it comes from such an experienced place as well.
Yeah.
Was that like that in motocross? And has that sort of always been part of your DNA?
Yes, 100%. If you go back on my Instagram videos and everything, before the gate drops, I used to shout and go mad.
Okay.
And also different. And it's just who I am.
Basically revving yourself up before you go.
100%, yeah. So you must remember, motocross, a lot of adrenaline's going through your body before you race. You have to fight a lot of also demons in your mind. You know, are you going to die? Are you going to be paralyzed? Could you break a bone? And that's brutal. That sport's brutal, like, to fight those battles. And I don't know, it's just, you had to go like, just psych yourself out. And then came onto the golf scene, and I used to play against my buddies, and you know, they were, when they used to make birdie, they all chilled, but as soon as I make birdie, I used to just pump my chest and go crazy. And it's just in me. I definitely don't fake it. I wish I had the ability to fake it, but it's honestly pure passion. And these oaks are amazing out on tour. Every cut I make and every birdie I make, I'm not going to take for granted, because, you know, your mind, man, it's one of the most strongest things out there for us. And like Arthur sitting here, very athlete, lost belief. And you know, to not end up there, you got to keep believing and never stop, because you know the breakthrough's around the corner. Everyone deserves success. Arthur, me, you, nobody's not human. So yeah.
But when do you go from putting you on the spot here, but yeah. Michael? But when do you go from? Where's the part where motivation, dedication, I'm putting all the words in, but the winnings are just not coming? How do you manage that? And at what stage do you have conversations with yourself to say, is this where I'm supposed to go? You know, you're very fortunate to have a family business and to be involved in a logistics and transportation company, you know. But what, just do you mind diving into that a little bit?
100%. And I think that's where we lose the hope. You know, you see so much athletes winning, but dude, it is the hardest game in the world. It's you know, you can play for 30, 40 years and you could never win. And I love winning. We all love winning. And I think that's the hardest part for us as humans. When you don't win, you start losing like that belief in yourself. But yes, bro, that's what keeps us going, to fight for that win. The moment you cut that winning feeling out of your head is the moment you average. You got to think, you know, you got to not think average. You got to keep thinking crazy things in your head, what you can achieve in life. And it's possible, man. So much people told me I'd never be sitting here with a Sunshine Tour card. Imagine I believed in him. You know?
Well, just to start with the negative to the positive, yeah. And don't take this out of context. So when I stopped playing on tour, he started, you know, going up the ranks in IGT. And I think I was playing pretty decent. IGT. Playing pretty decent, you know, featuring on the IGT. Didn't really get a win, but had some good finishes. But we had brutal players. We had the Dani van Tonder, Jacques Kreisvaeks, you know, the Neanderthals. Too hard to beat. Yeah, I remember the two-shot lead, two or three-shot lead going to last day against Dani, and Bruthadok is like going into a bloody boxing arena with that oak, bro. He doesn't flinch for nothing. But going back to the story, when I didn't meet him and I didn't know him, but I knew of him. I mean, you see everyone and, you know, you would see the scores and see what he does, you know, you always see something around. And I was one of those guys, honestly, that didn't think he would make it.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, but the positive side of me will come to you now.
100%.
Because there's talent and then there's obviously hard work, dedication, passion and whatnot. So the talent was not there because you started so late.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
The natural ability.
Yeah, the stuff you pick up when
you're younger. Talent is the wrong word. Natural ability, let's call it.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm glad he proved a lot of people wrong, because if there are four categories, let's say talent or natural ability is one, but he had the other three.
Yeah.
Call it 3.5, because he was still an athlete or a professional sportsman in other ways.
Sure.
Okay. But for what you did to where you are now is hats off, dude. I kid you not. I'm not trying to like make you feel better of what I said, but hats off. I think you've done super well. I follow. You are one of those guys, when I flick on the apps, I look for you because I'm rooting for you.
Me too.
Thanks.
Because from where you have come, and not because I didn't believe in you, thinking that you wouldn't make it, but you are that percent where you want that guy to do good because of the background of what you've done, the hard work, the sacrifice, you know, all of those things. And I always root for you, check when you're making the cut, I'm so stoked for you. When you on that cut line, I'm like, bro, you better get a fist pump or a chest pump or a machapalapi.
Something
has to come out quickly for you to make your birdie.
Sure, Ken.
But really, really well done to you. I'm not saying that on the show just to make you feel better or for our viewers, because I was one of those guys, but I'm super stoked for you. And it just shows that any person, if they have the passion, that need, that want, that
and a hard worker,
that urgency to do what they love and what they want, anyone can do it. Anyone can do it.
So did you lose your sunshine to a card at some stage?
No.
Okay, so you've had it since 2012.
No.
Okay.
So 2012 is when you started playing golf.
Oh,
started playing golf in 2012.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry.
Yeah.
And you are, how old are you now?
I'm 37.
So you started at 26?
Yeah.
That
is a late start.
At 26, I was already playing for 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I also started young. And what I meant especially with young, you know, when you're young, you play cricket or soccer or cycle or whatever it might be. It's so funny, in your older age, you just get it. You can, you know, when we played action cricket the other day, yes, in the beginning you were a little bit rattled, but then all of that, and that's what I mean, you didn't get that. You didn't get the 12, 14, played, you know, school league and then club championships and, you know, all of that, which is a definite part of some of the best golfers' DNA. Today.
That's exactly what Dylan Fratelli said.
That's exactly what he said, you know. So it was a competitive edge for people that started younger than later. That puts a whole different spin on that. So you've only really been playing for 10 years.
Yes, for sure.
And that's one of the reasons why that got me to that thought of his success.
Yeah.
Not because of his ability to play the game, but let's call it that 10,000 hours, he was practicing a lot harder than most Sunshine Tour players, and he wasn't even making the money that the guys on tour were making, you get what I'm saying? But he had a lot of catching up to do, which he did.
Yeah.
You know, I think he probably played every single tournament you could, plus on your off days, you'd be on the golf course.
Sure.
You know, so he
did. Swing even reflects that, eh?
Yeah.
Your swing isn't that natural.
No.
It looks repetition.
It looks
like you can repeat it.
Like you can repeat it all the time. But I mean, you guys know exactly what I mean when I say
100%.
That. You know, a guy that's played a long time, you can see the top 100 boys. You can sort of see they went to varsity when they were 9 and 10, and then they went into college schools. You can almost see that PGA, you know, coaching style that's so predominant in a lot of them. And yes, the Jim Furyks, and there's always exceptions to that rule. But those exceptions to the rule is what I really enjoy.
Correct.
Because, somebody said the other day, it was Gary Player, when we had the opportunity to play in one of his golf days when he was here recently. I see, in fact, he's still here in South Africa. And it's all about the impact of the ball. That's the most important part of the club, is where 100%. The impact of the club makes impact with the ball. How it gets there is now certainly been proven to be challenged many times. You know, I mean, who's the V8 swing? It was Jim Furyk.
But he was the best between 6 inches of the golf ball.
Exactly.
In the world.
It's all about
100%. At impact, he was the squarest golfer most consistent in terms of repetition.
Yeah.
Where's he disappeared to?
He's a Bali now, bro.
He's a Bali now.
He's on the senior tour.
He's on the senior tour.
I don't know if you saw on Instagram, they did his career earnings.
He's ridiculous.
There's guys that are superstars that are halfway there.
It was a recent post. He's one of the top three boys on earnings in golf. He sits right there up with Tiger.
And, I mean, he won a lot, but it took him a long time to win a major. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was the US Open
or the PGA. We'll double check that for you.
But it took him a long time. I think he was close to, he was in his late 40s.
Yes.
But what a guy. He was interesting to watch. Also, Mr. 59.
Yeah.
He had a chance for 58.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't go shoot 58 or 59 if you don't know where your club faces at impact.
100%. You know, Michael, this is a very different podcast. It's almost so engaging. And Arthur, I like that you've arrived. It looks like this year is Arthur's year. What do you think?
I think less sleep. Maybe I slept too much
in my life. Too much last year. But Michael, it just shows you, you know, and that this is what, you know, the guy on the weekend, you know, comes there with his Porsche, he gets out of that car or whatever the car might be, and he's the man. That's the cock on the course. Nobody's attracted to that guy. Nobody wants to play with that guy. Nobody wants to go and have lunch or dinner with that guy. The guy you want is the guy that comes there. What's up, boys? You know, let's go and have a beer quickly. When you're on the green, he quickly helps you there. You know, he's kind, he's generous, he's genuine. Those are the people that the world is attracted to. If you look at, oh my God, what's the most, I mean, the most crazy guy in golf in America. What's his name?
Is he a golf player?
Yo, man, Hooters. Hooters guy.
John Daly.
John Daly.
Yes.
Me? John Daly. If you look at John Daly on the PGA, he's one of the most shared guys on the PGA. Pages. And he's also the guy that gets some of the most hits because he's a player's player.
Yeah.
And what I mean player, I mean us. He's like, it feels like he belongs to us.
Well, he's normal.
Yeah, he's normal.
He smokes, drinks, goes crazy. Yeah.
And to me, Michael, you that guy, yeah.
No.
You know,
I wouldn't say you the smoke and drinking aromat or Tabasco.
And to me, I'll tell you, I say that because I've got this group of mates that I play golf with, and you're the oak that we mentioned, like Michael Cox. Did you see him there? He's always going to make it because we almost want you to go through and beat some of the guys.
Sure.
Because we know you don't come from a traditional sense, you know, of what a golfer is supposed to look like or what a golfer is supposed to act like. But also, Michael, whoever set that standard? You know, who said the golfer is supposed to be like that or this? I think that the world has seen in the last 2.5 years, it is the amateur's game, you know.
Sure.
It is, if you look at soccer, you know, sorry that I'm not jumping onto that, but that Super League that wanted to be created.
Yeah.
So soccer, obviously the Premier League is the big one. And then the elites wanted to create the Super League, which is only the top 6 and top 10 clubs in the world.
Yes.
And everybody came out. And from ground level, that wasn't a decision but made out of a boardroom with a Bentley and a Maybach. That was the guys going, listen, I have been a member of this club for 40 years. My father, but before him, I'm here to support you every weekend. I've got seasonal tickets, and they go out into these marches, which they did. And eventually it got stopped, you know, to create that. So I think LIV Golf, in my opinion, is a little bit of a rebellious tour against the traditional sense.
Sure.
And it changed things up a little bit. And I see now also, just like in the beginning, everybody was this, but they even see now PGA players starting to accept the game, accept the tour, you know, start to actually say, how do we create synergy and et cetera. So it's always just a point of time.
Yes.
So Michael, you must stay who you are, you know, and we're not here to tell you who you're supposed to be.
For sure.
But that's what got you definitely on the scene from an amateur perspective, you know, where everybody wanted to watch you and see you succeed and et cetera.
Sure. Appreciate it.
And, you know, I liked the other day your it's Two Brother Transport,
yes,
am I right?
Yeah.
And you said thank you very much for your brother and for the involvement. And I know you also shared in that business. But that type of stuff. And then I looked at your brother, you know, and I just felt like these are real genuine guys.
Yeah,
and these are the type of guy that I would probably want to phone and say, can you sort me out with logistics?
100%.
You know, and in all over the world, if you look at successful people in business world, you'll be so surprised. You never know. And this guy has done it a certain way, and this guy has done it the complete opposite way. And both of them are successful at what they do, but just with different ways and how they took it on.
100%.
So you must always be encouraged to remain who you are and keep motivating all of us and inspiring all of us to do what we want to do.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yo, listen, Michael, we're not finished yet. How long have we got? No, we're not finished yet.
I want to jump on to Arthur here. Let's get a bit of information here. Come, boy. Chap, when I was playing RGTs, bro, I used to look at the leaderboard and see this boy go deep. What went wrong, bro? Because I think there's a lot of pure class athletes, golfers out there. And I get goosebumps, bro. And actually, I want to cry, bro. You know, because I love you, bro. I love you for what you just said. What you just said to me, like, hey, I didn't believe in you, and I don't hate you for that.
Mm.
I love you for that, bro. And I want to encourage every flippin' golfer out there, but Chana, you never ever out the pitcher. Never ever. He has a guy I look up to and he lost belief. Sorry, please explain to me what went wrong.
That's assuming something went wrong.
You can say it's something went wrong, but in a sense, right? So I was fortunate to start at a young age with a golfing family background. I mean, when I was a kid, we had our own horn cup. That was, listen, that taught, like, we were 6 to 8 in our family, and we battled for that cup like proud. You know, we wanted to win that thing
like
so bad. And I think I was there a couple of times and then just didn't get it. And, you know, but that competitive edge was there. But going back to starting so young, when I got to, I think, 27, 28, I was mentally tired.
Yes.
You know, I knew I had the ability to play the game. I considered myself having the best short game, one of the best short games on the tour. Off the tee, let's call it, I was very average. You know, I'd always have this one leaker, but sure, yeah. It was manageable. Yes. But to cut a long story short, I got tired mentally. Traveled to India for 2 years trying to break onto the Asia tour, and I stopped enjoying the game, you know. So it wasn't the belief factor. I was still pushing and I believed I was good enough to do it. But I was just mentally tired, you know. I just didn't have that energy that you have.
For sure.
You know, and I just wanted to actually have a break for a year or 2 years, just a mental switch off.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I started True Fit Golf, and I said, right, I'll do this for, get it running for 2 years, you know, get it stable, get some guys to run it for me. So I've got a, you know, what's the right word for it? Like, I've got something behind me.
Yes.
You know, as a backup plan. You know, I felt like I needed that backup because of, I didn't, that fire was out of me. You know, sort of belief was gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, that whole mental fatigue and energy was not there. So that was a plan to get that break and go back. Okay. And then after doing it for a year or 2 years now, I think we're on to our 5 or 6 years, I get a kick helping guys play better golf. That's more crazy than me playing better golf.
Sure.
Okay. I think I'm playing, take away my distance because I've lost distance.
Yes.
I've lost club head speed.
Yeah.
Take away the distance. I'm close, not now recently, but let's call it a year or two ago. I was playing better golf than I was playing on tour. And I knew I could go again.
For sure.
You know, but
you've got a great strike.
But I like giving back to people, making sure they have the right equipment. That's my passion. Seeing the results for their game. There's no better feeling than giving back, you know, in the game of golf.
Yeah.
So I found my kick, my drive, you know, my passion. It's still in the game, but in a different version of the game.
Sure. Okay.
You know, and I always say to my mates on tour, I've got a lot of mates on tour over the years, the only time I miss it is when I'm actually working at the Sunshine Tour, helping the guys out. You know, being on the range on the week, you know, seeing all the guys get ready for the, you know, for the rounds and practice. Sure. That is the only time I miss it. You know, that competitive edge. You miss your mates.
Sure.
You miss that feeling, you know. But when I'm working at True Fit and, you know, helping other guys, I don't even think about it. Doesn't even cross my mind. So does that answer your question?
For sure. 100%. For sure.
Yeah, so the belief, like, I lost a little bit of belief, you know, but it was always there. I knew I was good enough. You know, I've been in the final group on the Sunshine Tour event, didn't pull it off because you get to the final day and then you think, but am I good enough to win now? And you know, everything in professional golf, and Dylan said it very, very well. It's like a ladder. You know, you start the game of golf, can I win club champs? Okay, then eventually you win club champs.
Yeah.
Okay, I've done it. Can I go to get into an IPT, interprovincial, play for my province. Get your provincial colors. I've done it. SA colors, you know. Turn professional, get your card. You know, it's all
a sequence
or a step-by-step approach.
Mm.
And some guys don't go through that step-by-step approach, and they're really, really successful. And then some guys are, you know. And I think at that, for me, playing for so long, I think I started playing by 14, 15, 16. It felt like a job to me. Practice every single day, played overseas, played for my country, played for my province. It was my life.
For sure.
You know, in matric, I missed 90 days of school. It's a whole term. Playing golf, you know. So it was, I'm fortunate to be in the seat. This is where I am. I'm happy where I am. I'm blessed. My journey went a different way, and I don't regret it. And maybe, you know, senior tour. Yeah. No, I'm joking. Maybe, you know, I was joking with some other guys saying maybe I should try get my mid-amateur colors. And I don't want to go play 36 holes on a Sunday, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to be with my family, or I work Monday to Saturday. Sundays I want to have a break, spend time with my family. So you get where I'm at.
Completely.
So, but every person has their journey.
For sure.
That road is not finished yet.
No, 100%.
No, Jesus.
Maybe Arthur becomes the biggest comeback kid. No, I'm kidding. No chance.
Arthur, I just want to validate, you know, you're helping, you know, one of my mates the other day said he is too nice. Né? So there's two people I believe is too nice. One is Carl Barker.
Yes.
I mean, he's just too nice.
Yeah, bro.
Every time I see him, I just want to say, Carl, you're too nice, buddy. And the second one is Arthur. You know, we went for lunch the other day, and we were sitting there with, you know, four of us. And he went outside and he just left, you know.
It was
in that time with the baby. Then he sends a message after, sorry, guys, I left with the baby. It's emergency. But his wife was basically in labor. And we all sit there. We're like, right, do your thing.
I felt like the biggest to us.
You felt like such a
doer. I didn't pay for the food.
Yeah.
I didn't say bye. I got a phone call, walked outside, and I just left.
And then he sends me a message even an hour after the first message. Just want to say I'm really sorry for leaving the table. I'm like, brother, your wife is in labor. You can leave anytime you want.
100%.
You know, Carl Barker, the other day, he's in the studio. He's helping one of my mates. He's busy hitting, and Carl helps him write a bit. Then this guy's got a job, like nothing to do with golf. So he says to Carl, listen, I've got to go and do my work a little bit. You know, Carl says to him, can I help you with your work? You know, Toffee says, he looked at him and he's like, Kyle, what do you mean you help me with my work? But that's Kyle.
Yeah.
When he answers you 2 o'clock in the morning, whenever you see that guy, he's so genuine.
Yeah.
And that's why, do you get along? Do you know Kyle?
Nah, I love Kyle. Eh?
You see, and I bet you now he's very attracted to your personality and probably vice versa.
For sure.
Because Kyle Barker is also the most genuine guy. I felt like that guy can't lie. He can't even try.
One of the most genuine guys you'll ever meet.
And his dad, you know, his dad as well. If you look at, you know, so I'm at a lot of these events, and I'm almost really behind the scenes. I don't want to bother the players. But Carl will see me. He's teeing off. He's walking to his tee. He'll take a moment. Albert! You know, and I'll be like, Carl, don't go do your tee off.
Sure.
You know, don't worry about me right now.
Yes.
And of course, we appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
And it's unreal because when you look at Kyle, and you'll understand this, golf is so tough. You go through so many mental battles and you have your ups and your downs and this. And how does he consistently keep that right?
Yep.
You know, I see guys playing on the PGA Tour that's miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
No, for sure.
They're miserable.
Sure. Miserable.
And how he has that energy to be so positive all the time. And going back years again, I'm like, surely this is not real.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, not being ugly.
No, completely.
But you're not normal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you on drugs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
the
feels that you get from golf, like you said, You know, you win 1% if you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Oh, my word. And then that's even a good percentage.
And sure. How he does that, but he's a great guy. I mean, yeah. Got so much time for that guy.
Yeah, no. One of the
most. I don't think there's one guy, maybe on tour and in the golf industry, that will say something bad about him. Yes. So it's your first year on tour?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just quickly tell us about your first year on tour. How was it for you? Was it everything you expected? Obviously a lot more challenging, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you know, I came there like guns blazing. You know, I had points to prove, and there was a lot of fire in me. And like the more like the journey's got on, like even you said, Albert, like I've changed a bit. It's because, you know, sometimes I sit back and I'm like, you know, it's tough to be that guy that encourages people, because people think, hey, you might always be happy and everything, like you say. Mm. But I'm also fighting a lot of deep down emotions. Yeah. But I choose to, instead of getting down inside and giving the world negative energy, I rather build them up. And that's what changed me a bit this year. Like a lot of people keep telling me, you know, hey, you can't do this. And I just feel like I'm always proving things to people. And I think that's where I've gone wrong a bit now. I'm proving too much points instead of doing it for myself. And that's what I want to do this year in 2023. I want to do things for myself. I don't have to prove points or anything. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to...
I'm glad you mentioned it. You know, yeah. I just want to quickly on that. It felt like we all saw you off before you had your card.
Yeah.
And then it felt to me like, and I almost remember that one post. There was something, you had a good hole, you had a good moment, and you got very excited.
Yes.
And I remember seeing a negative comment on a post.
Yeah.
Like, this is not golf or whatever it might be.
Was it the bunker hole?
Yeah.
It the bunker
hole? Yeah.
And then I literally saw you change online. And I'm talking, it almost felt immediate to me.
No, I'm just thinking. I feel like the bunker hole was like years ago. Was it?
No, it was that before,
before you got onto tour.
Yeah, before I got onto tour.
Was that when you were building to get your card
through? For sure. Yeah. And then told me I'm not good for the game.
Was it
and everything,
the tour?
So it was tough.
Was it the professionals? Was it spectators? Was it sponsorships?
Random people.
No, a couple of guys on
tour. I'm not asking who they were.
No. Just a couple of guys on tour, and it just rattled me a bit.
Well, years ago, I'm not here to tune people, and that's not my job. But that probably got more attention than some guy that's been playing on tour for 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know, they've been fighting it out, doing well on the Sunshine Tour. You know, back a couple of years ago, the social media wasn't great, to be honest, as well. No. It's a lot better now. But those guys are jealous, man. They've been playing this game for a long time, playing on tour. They'll post them playing SA Open and they might get like 50 likes, a couple of good lucks, you know. So it's all jealousy, man. People are so jealous.
When you decide, okay, I'm hitting range balls or I'm practicing or I'm out somewhere, and you decide to switch the camera on, and then you decide to turn to the camera and do encouragement, you know, bring a bit of love and energy into all of that. Why do you do, what is your, what, when you did it the first time, when you now do it, do you sit there and you go, I want to, is it, you know, from an encouragement, which I know is going to be part of your answer, or do you upload, before you upload, you go, this one's going to judge me. Ooh, I don't want that one to see it. Ooh, this one. What goes?
No. I used to be like it, but I do it from a place from my heart, you know.
Do you want to say that to us? Why do you want to say to us, Champalampis? Why do you want to say that to us?
Because people fake. There's a lot of ugly people out in the world. I've been bullied my whole life in school, and it's not fun. And you know, the other day I sat in my car and I was crying because I hear of all these kids that commit suicide in schools and everything. And you know, those are the kids that actually have so much potential in life, but they get bullied and people knock their self-esteem down. And you know, that's who I try and talk to in life. I just try and encourage people that have been hurt in life and been told you're not good enough and everything. And I love doing it. I do it out of the goodness of my heart. And I'm just sometimes you also sit back and the people that come to me at driving ranges and give me hugs and tell me, hey, you know, you just changing my life. You know, it's beautiful. You know, sometimes I'm not giving the results and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to get judged and everything. But this game's so tough, man. It is what it is, and I've accepted it. You just got to keep on just being a nice person, and you know, being good in the world offers good, and that's what I go on with my life. Eh?
But that's what we do, ne? And youngsters as well, you know, including all of us. It's sort of a culture that sometimes exists. It's okay to talk down on other people. It's okay to be an authority over somebody. And that's absolute bullshit. We must stamp that out so quick. So I'm assuming you had some bullying when you were young, and that's sat in your heart.
Yeah.
It's been with you to this day.
100%. And also there's a lot of bullying on social media.
Yes.
You know, people are quick to throw their ugly comments. I see there's a lot of people on TikTok that make videos that, yes, they sit there on their lives and the comments they get, it's pretty brutal. I don't know how people can sit there and accept, like,
take it in.
Yeah, take it in, like, you know, spirits. It's you might not be murdering the person
or beating them physically.
How do you know that word that you've just spoken upon their lives, they go in their life? So you're basically a murderer if you want to be a bully like that on social media and that.
Yeah.
If I know it's a bit brutal, but it's true, man.
Yeah.
You know, kids come home from school and end their lives and you hear all these sad stories. But yeah, it's just, I love encouraging the world. And you know, if I can get a guy like Arthur to get back into his driving seat and make him a pilot again, you know, I've accomplished my goal in life, you know, because I look up to him and I know he's a top class athlete. And one day, you know, when I sit in heaven and Arthur comes up to me and tunes, hey, thanks for making me get back into my pilot suit and start flying again. That's what my life's about, to see people fly.
And I think also, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's taken his negativity and turned it into a positivity or into a positive situation. Yeah. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's not coming from nowhere or from a fake presentation, you know. So I think that's great. I think what's great about today is that you mentioned it, because not a lot of people have the balls to say that, but you've mentioned it. People are going to start understanding who Michael Cock is, aka Cockstar, Chapalapi, Mabut, Mabojal, you know. But I think this stuff is all necessary, and the real talk is what we want to hear.
Sure.
And thanks for sharing that with us. I think that's great.
I appreciate being around you guys. Eh? Like, you guys are really good people. I enjoy your presence, and thanks for having me, man.
What a pleasure.
Truly appreciate it.
Hopefully
we can have a round together.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Definitely.
And we look forward to seeing you go from strength to strength this year.
Thanks.
All of us are going to follow you.
I appreciate it.
Your Champalampies, we're all your Champalampies, Michael.
We're right there with you.
And Arthur, you know, for you as well, thank you for today. I'm going to say once again, so proud of you as a new dad.
Yeah.
And guys, when we speak here, you know, yes, it sometimes turns to us. And sometimes I go to a little bit of a tantrum. And I promise you, it's not that I enjoy my own voice. It's just passion.
Sure.
And sometimes I reflect back and I am very regretted. And I think one of those days will be today. But I just want to say this show is really for everybody. We want that one of the segments we want to add is we don't see enough of what goes on the golf course with amateurs over weekends. So Arthur, I've asked Christian, anybody's going to listen to, send us your videos of your mate throwing his club into the water, throwing it up into the air. The guy that, whatever fun moment you had with your mates, we want those videos.
Yeah.
We want to take 5 minutes in this segment and show you a little bit of fun of what we do and what happens on the weekend golf courses. You know, what are their names? The local guys that make shirts, custom apparel.
Mm.
They always have the most amateur moments on their pages, and I always enjoy it. So I thought I stole a little bit from that from them, and I thought we need to include that too here. Michael, thank you for all your sponsors that are with you. Thank you for your brother, to him as well, and all the customers that support your transportation business. Thank you for making that happen. Yeah. Thank you for staying loyal to you guys.
Sure.
And we really look forward to following your journey. And and one day we'll have somebody here that says, Michael was my reason to do it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Arthi?
From our side, dude, thank you so much for today. I think hopefully the next time we get in the seat, we can call you a Sunshine Tour champion.
Yeah.
I think just carry on doing you.
Yeah.
Carry on believing. Carry on being Michael Cock. And I think just keep on pushing. It's a marathon, dude. You just got to be fit to carry on.
For sure.
It's, you know, with these legs, I lost fitness, bro. And at the end of the day, if you want a phone call or a chat or advice or help with your clubs or want to use my flight scope or TrackMan, you know, need assistance in any way from mental side or a phone call or a catch up, whatever you need, dude.
Thanks.
Just give me a phone call, all right?
Appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, you. Michael. Anything from your side, Michael?
I just want to thank you guys again. It's unbelievable. And thank you that I can sit here and see what success looks like. And that's what keeps me going. And that's what I'll chase. You know, just success isn't sometimes about what you have. Success is about the people you hang around and the memories they leave you with and to keep you going in life. That's what I've learned today. Thank you.
Pleasure, Michael. Well, we will pray over your life.
Thank you.
And everything you take on this year.
Thank you, man.
Okay. Cheers, Michael.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, everybody.